sure how much money we had in the bank account. Poppy was huddled on the stool, her knees to her chest. The cream cheese opened with a pop, and once the bagels sprang up, I handed the first one to Poppy. She was humming to herself, the same song my music box played. She inspected it for a few seconds before stuffing it in her mouth. The cream cheese melted around her lips, leaving a pink, sticky residue. I turned to toast my bagel. "Is it just you and your dad? Will he want breakfast?" I asked. She shook her head. "He's gone." I added cream cheese to my bagel and took a bite, watching Poppy annihilate hers in record time. "Did you eat dinner last night?"
"I think so."
"What noises?"
"Huh?"
she asked, her mouth full.
"You said you didn't sleep because of noises. I didn't hear anything."
"It was beneath," she said. I finished my food and the drawer next to the sink squeaked when I pulled it open to retrieve a dish rag. I held it under the faucet, then wiped the mess from Poppy's face. She let me do it as she'd done dozens of times before.
"Beneath what? Your bed?"
She grimaced, twisting at her nightgown.
"I'll tell you what, I'll double-check your bed tonight."
She nodded again, leaning her head against my chest. I hugged her to me and then popped into the hall to rummage through the chest for coloring books and crayons.
"Look, Poppy,"
I said, holding up the book and small box.
"You just missed her,"
Althea said, cleaning up the breakfast dishes.
"That girl is a world-class sneak."
The straps of my bag dug into my shoulders when I slid my arms through.
"Good morning."
"Morning, baby. Is Elliot picking you up today?"
"He is,"
I said, pulling my hair back into a low ponytail.
"I think he is. I shouldn't assume."
An engine idled outside and a car door closed. I peeked out of the dining room window, smiling as Elliot jogged to the front porch. He stopped just short of knocking on the door.
"Tell Mama I said bye,"
I said, waving to Althea. She seemed tired and uncharacteristically morose.
"I will, baby. Have a good day at school."
Elliot didn't smile when he saw me. Instead, he gestured to the police cruiser parked down the street.
"Who's that?"
I asked, walking to the edge of the porch.
"There's one outside Aunt Lee's, too."
"They're watching us? Why?"
"Uncle John says we must be suspects."
I glanced back at the house and then followed Elliot to his car. The heater had made it toasty inside the Chrysler, but I was still shivering.
"Did they see you leave my house this morning?"
"No."
"How do you know?"
"Because I made sure they didn't."
"I don't understand,"
I said as Elliot pulled his Chrysler away from the juniper.
"Why are they watching us instead of looking for who took Presley?"
"I think they think that's what they're doing. Mrs. Brubaker called my aunt last night, begging. She said if I knew anything about Presley to please say something."
"But you don't know anything."
Elliot shook his head. His hair was pulled into a bun, giving a rare look at his full face. His defined jawline had a dusting of stubble, his eyes still tired from a long night. I stared out the window at the fog settling just above the dead wheat and soybean fields, wondering where Presley was, if she'd run away or if she'd been taken. The rumor was that there was no sign of a struggle, but that didn't stop the police from investigating Elliot and me.
"What if they say it's you?" I asked. "What if they charge you?"
"They can't. I didn't do it."
"Innocent people are charged with crimes every day."
Elliot parked the Chrysler in its usual spot and turned off the engine, but he didn't move. His shoulders were sagging, the most deflated I'd seen him since we became friends again.
"When you were being questioned at the station, did you tell them you spent the night?"
I asked.
"No."
"Why not?"
"Because I don't want them to say anything to your mom."
I nodded. That would definitely put a halt to my restful nights.
"What time did you leave?"
I asked. He squirmed in his seat.
I fell asleep and didn't wake up until sunrise. I climbed down just after dawn.
You should tell them.
No.
Damn it, Elliot!
He looked down, chuckling. I'm not going to get arrested.
We walked into the school together under the glares of other students. Elliot stood at my locker while I dropped off my backpack and gathered my supplies for first hour. Madison and Sam stopped by, their matching hair part of a wall between me and the rest of the students.
Hey, Sam said, did you get cuffed and everything?
Madison elbowed him.
Sam, God!
What?
He asked, rubbing his ribs.
Are you guys okay?
Madison asked, hugging me. Elliot nodded.
We're fine. The cops will find her and they'll find out what happened soon enough. You hope, Sam said.
Madison rolled her eyes.
They will. She looked at me. Don't put up with anyone's shit today. I will cut a bitch.
One side of my mouth curled up, and Sam pulled Madison away to their next class. Elliot walked me down the hall and then kissed my cheek outside my Spanish 2 class.
You sure you're okay?
I nodded.
Why?
He shrugged.
Just have a weird feeling.
I'll be fine.
He kissed my cheek again quickly before jogging down the hall and disappearing around the corner, hurrying to get to his class on the other side of the building. I held my textbook close to my chest as I walked to my seat, my every step watched by the other students. Even Senora Tipton warily watched me take a seat. She patted her short, salt-and-pepper perm with her hand, welcomed the class in Spanish, and then asked us to turn our workbooks to page 374. Just after Senora announced the assignment and the room grew quiet as everyone focused on their work, my stomach began to cramp. I pressed my fingertips against the pain. It was low, just inside my hip bones. Great. My period was the last thing I needed. Hesitant to draw attention to myself, I quietly walked to Senora's desk and leaned down.
I need to go to my locker.
Why? She asked, loud enough for everyone to hear. I cringed.
It's personal.
Recognition lit her eyes and she waved me away. I took the orange laminated rectangle that read Hall Pass in block letters. When I rounded the corner, I saw Anna Sue and Tatum standing at my locker, working feverishly. A scratching sound, metal on metal, cut through the air. Anna Sue stopped moving, and Tatum turned around.
"Where is she?"
Anna Sue asked, rage in her eyes. She took a step toward me, holding the paring knife.
"I know you know!"
I took a step back, glancing over at Anna Sue's artwork, a word cut into the paint of my locker from the top corner to the bottom. Confess. Tatum took the knife from her, holding it up to my face, backing me against the line of lockers.
Is she alive? Tatum whispered. Did that savage tell you where he put her, or did he just kill her? Is she buried somewhere? Tell us!
The fluorescent lights above glinted off the tip of the knife, just inches from my eye.
I don't know where she is, I breathed. Elliot doesn't know where she is. He was at my house all night. It couldn't have been him.
Anna Sue yelled in my face.
Everyone knows it was him. We just want her back. We just want her safe. Tell us where she is.
I'm warning you. Get away from me. I seethed.
Is that a threat?
Tatum asked, touching the tip of the sharp metal to my cheek. I closed my eyes and screamed, lashing out with my fists. Tatum fell back, the knife clanging to the ground. I kicked it away and pushed Tatum against one of the large windows across from my locker, feeling my knuckles make contact with the bones in her face, but feeling no pain. I could have kept swinging for the rest of the day. Anna Sue grabbed my hair and pulled me backward. We both lost our balance and tumbled to the tile floor. I climbed on top of her, landing punches against her forearms that were covering her face.
I said, I yelled, tightening my fist, leave me alone. I've never done anything to you.
You bullied me almost my entire life. No more. Do you understand me? No more.
I hit Anna Sue after every other word, my anger seeping from every pore. She tried to throw a punch of her own, but I used that opportunity to shove my fist into her unprotected face.
Stop! Stop this now!
By the time someone pulled me away, my chest was heaving, my muscles shaking from adrenaline and exhaustion. I kicked and thrashed to get at Anna Sue again. From the corner of my eye, I spotted Tatum flattened against the wall, terrified.
I said stop!
Mr. Mason yelled. He maintained his grip around my middle. My arms fell to my sides, my knees gave out, and a sob I'd been waiting to cry since I was 7 bubbled up and overflowed. Mrs. Mason turned the corner, surprised to see her husband holding me and Anna Sue on the ground with a bloody lip.
What the hell happened?
She saw the markings on my locker, and then her eyes zeroed in on the knife lying on the floor. She scrambled to pick it up.
Whose is this? Anna Sue, did you use this to write on Catherine's locker?
Anna Sue sat up with a frown, wiping her bloody lip with the back of her hand.
Answer me!
Mrs. Mason yelled. When Anna Sue refused to comply, the counselor looked to Tatum.
Tell me, what happened?
We know they're being investigated. We want to know what they did with Presley!
Tatum cried. Mr. Mason let me go, peering over his glasses at me.
You attacked these girls for scratching up your locker? Catherine, that's not like you. What happened?
Anna Sue and Tatum glowered at me. I looked down for a moment, noticing my bloody knuckles. They looked just like Elliot's the first time we met. My gaze met Mrs. Mason's. Anna Sue used the knife to scratch the letters into my locker, and I caught them. They asked me where Presley was, then Tatum took the knife and held it to my face. She backed me against the lockers. Mr. and Mrs. Mason looked at Tatum, their mouths open.
Tatum, did you threaten Catherine with this knife?
Mrs. Mason asked. Tatum's eyes danced between the Masons, and then she settled on Anna Sue, seeming to refocus. We'll do whatever we have to get our friend back. Mrs. Mason looked to me, fear in her eyes. She cleared her throat.
Mr. Mason, please take Anna Sue and Tatum to Dr. Augustine and call the police. Catherine Calhoun was just threatened with a dangerous weapon on school property.
Mr. Mason grabbed Tatum's arm and then Anna Sue's, pulling her to stand.
Wait, Tatum said, struggling. She attacked us! She attacked us!
After you threatened her with a knife, Mr. Mason said, his deep voice echoing down the hallway. Come on, let's go.
I turned the dial of my locker, yanked, and for the first time, the latch released on the first try. I pulled out a thin pad and a tampon, slipping them both into the inside pocket of my coat.
Oh, that's why you came to your locker in the middle of class, Mrs. Mason said.
She cupped my cheeks in her hands, then brushed my hair.
Are you all right?
I nodded, still feeling tears cooling on my cheeks. She hugged me to her, holding me tight. I realized I was still shaking, my cheek against her chest.
You're not safe out here anymore.
I didn't do anything to Presley. Neither did Elliot. I swear to you we didn't.
I know. Come on. She said, pulling me by the hand.
Where are we going?
I asked. Mrs. Mason sighed.
You're going to receive and complete your work in my office until this settles down.
Chapter 30. Catherine. Rain pelted the Chrysler's windshield and dripped down without interference from the wipers. Elliot had been quiet all evening, after school, at the grocery store, and sitting in his idling car in front of the juniper.
"Can I come in?"
he asked finally, water still dripping from his nose. He stared at his steering wheel, waiting for my answer. I touched his cheek.
"Yeah,
We need to get you dried off.
I'll carry the bags to the porch. Then I'll meet you upstairs.
I nodded. When I carried the last bag to the kitchen, I stopped, noticing Mama was sitting on the couch, watching a dark television screen. I picked up groceries, I said, peeling off my coat and hanging it with the others. Want to help me put them away? She didn't answer. How was your day? One item after another, I filled the pantry and then the refrigerator. My wet clothes were stuck to my skin, and my teeth began to chatter as I put the empty plastic bags in the recycling bin. I removed my boots, dropping them off in the foyer before walking into the living room. Mama? She didn't move. I walked around, seeing her pale face and red-rimmed eyes focused on the floor. What are you doing? I asked, kneeling in front of her. I combed her tangled hair from her face with my fingers, a sick feeling stirring in my stomach. She'd been that low once or twice before, but her behavior was becoming increasingly unsettling. Everyone dies, she whispered, her eyes glossing over. Are you missing Dad? I asked. Her eyes flicked up to glare at me, and then she turned away, a tear falling down her cheek. Okay, let's get you to bed. I stood, helping her up with a grunt. I took her upstairs, down the hall, and then up the short second set of stairs to her master suite. She sat on the bed, the same sad expression on her face. I unbuttoned her blouse, removed her bra, and found her favorite nightgown, tugging it over her head. Here, I said, pulling back the covers. When she lay back, I helped her out of her shoes and jeans, covering her with the sheet and blanket as she turned her back to me. Her skin felt cold and clammy when I pressed my lips to her cheek, but she remained still. I patted her hands, noticing dirt packed under her fingernails. Mama, what have you been doing? She pulled her hand away. Okay, we can talk about it tomorrow. I love you. I closed her door and tried to keep my footsteps light as I descended the stairs and walked down the hall to my bedroom. I passed my door and turned the dial on the thermostat, sighing when the vents kicked on. Mama hadn't even asked why I was wet and shivering. It's me, I whispered as I slipped in through the small opening the dresser behind my door allowed. I expected to see Elliot in my bedroom, but he wasn't there. Instead, he was standing in my bathroom, dripping wet and shivering. He only wore his wet jeans, with one of my towels wrapped around his bare shoulders. What are you doing? I asked, joining him in the bathroom. His lips were a bluish tint, his teeth chattering.
Can't get warm, he said.
The shower curtain rings scraped against the pole and I twisted the knob. I peeled off my coat and stepped into the tub, pulling Elliot with me. We stood together under the warm stream, the uncontrollable trembling of our bodies slowing to a tolerable level. I reached for the knob again and again, adjusting the temperature, warming the water as it did the same for us. Elliot looked down at me, finally able to notice something other than the cold. Water dripped from the tip of his nose and chin as he stared, seeing that my sweater and jeans were drenched. He reached down to the bottom hem of my top and tugged up, leaving me in a thin, pink tank top. He leaned down, cupping my cheeks before touching his lips to mine. I reached down to unbutton my jeans, but they didn't slide off as normal, sticking to my skin every inch of the way. I kicked them to the back of the tub. Elliot's fingers felt different on my skin. His fingertips sank in deeper, his breath faster, his mouth hungrier. He wrapped his arms around my middle and pulled me closer, and just as his mouth left mine to taste my neck, his kisses slowed, his touch returning to normal. He reached back to turn off the shower, and then for two towels, handing one to me and then drying his face with the other.
What?
I asked.
You should probably...
He gestured to my bedroom, seeming embarrassed.
Did I do something wrong?
No,
he said quickly, desperate to save me from the same humiliation he felt.
I'm not prepared.
Oh. I blinked, waiting for the realization to hit. When it did, my eyes widened.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't realize that was an option.
I tried not to smile, but failed. I couldn't blame him. I hadn't given him any clues that it was.
I'll just...
I pointed to my dresser, closing the bathroom door behind me. I covered my mouth, stifling a giggle before opening a drawer. I slipped one leg and then the other into a dry pair of panties, and then pulled the first nightgown I touched out of the drawer and over my head. Elliot tapped on the door.
Can you grab my shirt and shorts from a bag?
Yes, I said, turning toward his duffel bag in the corner. A black T-shirt and a pair of gray cotton shorts were folded on top. I snatched them, rushing over to the bathroom door. It cracked open, and Elliot's hand appeared, palm up. Once the clothes were in his hand, the door closed again. I sat on the bed, brushing my hair to the sweet chime of my music box, waiting for Elliot to appear. Finally, he stepped out, still sheepish.
Don't be embarrassed, I said.
I'm not.
It's just that Aunt Lee brought this up after the first night I stayed here. I assured her that wasn't a possibility anytime soon. Now I wish I had listened to her.
Now that's embarrassing. Elliot chuckled, sitting next to me and trying his best to pull the hair tie from his wet bun.
Here, let me help, I said, smiling as he relaxed back against me.
It took me a solid minute, but I finally worked all his hair from the black band and started to unravel it. I began at the ends, holding them as I gently brushed through his hair. He took a deep breath, closing his eyes as the sound of the dark strands passing through the teeth of my brush became a steady rhythm.
No one's brushed my hair since I was little,
he said. It's relaxing. You should let me do it more often.
You can do it as much as you'd like.
When I could start at the roots and pull the brush through to the ends, Elliot took the hairband from me and pulled it up again.
You're like that guy in the Bible, I said. The strong one with the strong hair.
Elliot lifted an eyebrow.
You've read the Bible? I thought you said you didn't believe in God.
I used to.
What changed your mind?
He asked. Do you believe in God?
I believe in connection to the earth, the stars, to every living thing, my family, my ancestors.
Me?
He seemed surprised.
Your family.
I leaned down, barely touching my lips to a dark red split in his lip. He winced.
I'll get some ice.
No, it's fine. Don't leave.
I chuckled. I'll be right back. I slipped outside and down the stairs, opening the freezer and reaching inside for a cold pack. I wrapped it in a dish towel and hurried back upstairs, realizing it was second nature now for me to listen for any movement. There was only silence. Even the water heater downstairs was quiet. When I returned to the bedroom, Elliot helped me to replace the dresser and bed against the door.
I could come in sometime when your mom is gone and install a bolt lock.
I shook my head. She'd know then, and she would freak out if I altered the house.
She has to understand her teenage daughter getting a lock on her bedroom door, especially if the guests are coming in.
She won't.
I touched the dark line on his lip, split from where Cruz had hit him.
I'm so sorry, Elliot. If you had stayed away, you wouldn't be in this situation right now.
Think about it. Why do they think you had a reason to hurt Presley? Because she was horrible to you. You'll never convince me any of this is your fault. They could jump me a dozen times, and it still wouldn't be your fault. That's their choice. Their hate. Their fear. You don't make them do anything.
You think they'll try to jump you again?
He sighed, irritated. I don't know. Does it matter?
Yes. Because you're right, it's getting worse. Maybe you should do your work in Mrs. Mason's office, too, I said.
That's not a bad idea. I miss seeing you in the hall and in Mr. Mason's class.
Tell me about it. I've been back there for a month. It's almost Christmas break with no end in sight.
Mrs. Mason is worried about you. I am, too.
Let's worry about you for a while.
We both paused when a floorboard creaked down the hall. Who's here?
Elliot whispered. Willow was here when I got home from school. That's probably her.
Who's Willow?
I sighed. She's 19, wears a lot of black eyeliner. That's how you can pick her out of a crowd. She's sad.
Where is she from?
I don't talk to her as much as I do the others. Most of the time, she's too depressed. Mama says she's a runaway. From her accent, I think Chicago.
What about the rest? You said the Juniper has regulars.
It felt strange to discuss the guests with anyone. There's Duke and his daughter, Poppy. He says he's an oil guy from Texas, but he mostly just yells. He's angry. Scary angry. And Poppy's like this little mouse who scampers around the Juniper.
That's awful. Why does she travel with him?
He comes here for work. Poppy doesn't have a mother.
Poor kid.
I squirmed.
Who else?
When Althea stays, she helps me cook and clean, and she always gives great advice. She's the one who told me to forgive you.
Smart lady, Elliot said with a smile.
Then my Uncle Toad and Cousin Imogen come sometimes, but not as often as the others. After last time, Mama told Uncle Toad he couldn't come back for a while.
Uncle Toad?
I shrugged. If he looks like a toad and sounds like a toad.
Is he your mom's brother or your dad's brother? Or someone's sister's husband?
I don't know, I said, looking up at the ceiling in thought. I've never asked. Elliot chuckled.
That's weird.
It's all weird, trust me. The room was dark, and the Juniper was quiet except for Willow's occasional pacing and the cars driving down our street. The dresser was against the door and the bed against the dresser, so I barely worried about guests wandering into my room at night anymore. I leaned down to gently kiss Elliot's swollen lip. Is that okay? I asked.
It's always okay.
I lay down on Elliot's chest, listening to his heartbeat. It sped up for a few seconds before finally settling down. He hugged me to him, his voice low and soothing.
Christmas break, then Christmas, then New Year's, then the last semester of high school. You turn 18 in just over a month.
I blinked. Wow. It doesn't seem possible.
Still plan on staying here?
I thought about his question. 18 had felt like it would never come. Now that it was here and I felt so safe and warm in Elliot's arms, my resolve was wavering.
Hesitation is good, he said.
I pinched his side and he let out an almost silent yelp. His fingers found the ticklish spot on my ribs and I squealed. I covered my mouth, my eyes wide. We chuckled until the doorknob turned. Catherine? Willow said. I froze, feeling fear burrow a hole in my chest and spread through my veins. It took every bit of courage I could muster to speak. I'm in bed, Willow. What do you need? I asked. The door rattled again. What's in front of the door? My dresser? She pushed at the door again. Why? Because I don't have a lock and the guests think they can just walk in. Let me in, she whined. It took me a few seconds to gain the courage, but the alternative was worse.
No, I'm in bed. Go away.
Catherine! I said go away!
The doorknob released, and Willow's footsteps sounded farther away as she made her way back down the hall. I let my head fall against Elliot's chest, finally exhaling like I'd been underwater. That was too close. He hugged me to him, the warmth of his arms helping my heart rate return to normal.
She's definitely from the Chicago area.
I leaned back against Elliot's chest, keeping my gaze on the door.
Are you going to stare at it until morning?
He asked.
Elliot, if she comes in...
He waited for me to finish a truth that wouldn't come.
Say it. Tell me.
I frowned. Everything inside me screamed not to say the words.
They're going to try to keep me here. Mama, the guests.
Why?
More questions,
I said, already miles outside of comfort.
Catherine, he prompted, what is going on here? What are they doing?
I bit on my bottom lip and then moved into a new position.
The new guests, they don't leave. Sometimes I find their suitcases in the basement, their toiletries still in their rooms. We don't have guests other than the regulars very often, but...
Elliot was quiet for a long time.
How long has this been happening?
Not long after we opened.
What happens to them? The new guests.
I shrugged, feeling tears sting my eyes. Elliot hugged me to his chest. He was quiet for a long time.
Has anyone come looking?
No.
Maybe it's something else. Maybe the regulars are just stealing from them.
Maybe.
You've never seen anyone leave?
Not anyone who's come alone.
He sighed, holding me close. Eventually, my eyes felt heavy, and no matter how hard I tried to watch for shadows in the light that slipped under the door, blackness surrounded me, and I tumbled backward into the dark. When my eyes opened again, Elliot was gone. The winter birds were chirping in the bright sun, and the wind was silent for a change. I dressed for school, and just as I pulled my hair back into a ponytail, I heard plates clattering in the kitchen, and the fire alarm began to bleat. I scrambled downstairs, stopping when I saw the chaos in the kitchen. Mama was struggling to put a breakfast together, the smell of burned bacon mixing with the smoke in the air. I opened the kitchen window, grabbing a placemat and using it to fan the smoke away. After a few seconds, the alarm silenced.
"Goodness, I've probably woken the entire house," she said. "You okay?"
I asked.
"I..."
She looked around, sniffing at the sight of a broken egg on the floor. I bent down to scoop the yolk and shell into my hands, standing to fling them into the sink. Mama was a seasoned cook and baker, and it didn't take long to figure out what had happened.
"Is Duke here?"
I asked, but before I could answer, I saw the Chrysler parked outside at the curb.
"Oh, I have to go,"
I called back. Elliot stepped out, standing next to his car, but his smile wasn't as bright. His eyes weren't as animated as I walked toward him. When I sat in the passenger seat, he held my hand, but the ride to school was quiet. We both knew that day would be worse than the day before. Each day that passed without news of Presley, the more hostile the school became for us. Elliot parked and sighed. I squeezed his hand. 3 more days until Christmas break.
I'm going to get suspended. I can feel it.
Let me ask her about you doing your work in her office too, okay?
He shook his head, trying to hide his anxiety with a smile.
Nah, I want to see you more, but I won't hide.
It's not fair that I'm protected in there and you're a sitting duck. And you wouldn't be hiding. You'd be avoiding a fight.
It's not in my blood to avoid a fight.
We walked hand in hand into the school. He kept me a bit behind him, just enough for him to take the brunt of a hard shoulder from his teammates and other students in the hall. The smiles and high fives were gone, replaced by accusing stares and fear. Elliot kept his eyes forward, his jaw ticking after every shove. He could have put his fist into the faces of every one of them, knocking out teeth or breaking noses, but he quietly repeated his mantra, counting down to Christmas break. He stayed with me while I opened my locker. After I had Spanish, physics, and world history textbooks stacked in my hands, Elliot walked me to the office and kissed my cheek before trying to make it to his locker and then class before the bell. I wondered if he would get stopped on the way.
"Good morning, Catherine," Mrs. Mason said. She was already typing away when I stepped inside her office.
She noticed my silence and looked up.
"Uh-oh, is everything okay?"
I chewed on the inside of my lip, wanting so badly to tell her about Elliot, but he would hate feeling he was hiding in her office all day.
"It was a hectic morning. Breakfast burned. We had to start over."
"Were you distracted?"
"It wasn't me. It was Mama. She's sad again."
Spending almost 4 weeks in a small office with Mrs. Mason made it impossible to avoid conversation. After the first week, she was beginning to get suspicious, so I'd tell her just enough to keep her happy.
"Did something happen, or..."
"You know, she just gets this way sometimes. It's getting worse the closer I get to graduation."
"Have you applied to any colleges yet? You still have time."
I shook my head, instantly dismissing the idea.
"You could easily get a scholarship, Catherine. I could help you. We've talked about this. You know I can't leave her."
"Why? Lots of kids go to college when their parents are business owners. You could come back with your knowledge and do something amazing with the Juniper. What about hotel management?" I chuckled. Mrs. Mason smiled.
"Is that funny?"
"It's just not possible."
"Catherine, are you telling me you can't go to college because your mom can't take care of herself while you're gone? Does that mean you're taking care of her?"
"Some days more than others."
"Catherine,"
Mrs. Mason said, clasping her hands behind her nameplate. She leaned over, her eyes sad and desperate.
"Please, please let me help you. What is going on over there?"
I frowned, then turned my back to her, opening my Spanish workbook. She sighed, and then a steady stream of clicking on her keyboard filled the silence of the small space. My number two pencil scratched against the notebook paper, adding a new rhythm to Mrs. Mason's tapping. Sitting in silence with her had become comfortable, safe, even. There was nothing to do here but schoolwork. I could just be. Just before lunch, the blinds in Mrs. Mason's office rattled. After some yelling and commotion, Mrs. Mason peeked out and then yanked on the cord. Coach Peckham stood just inside the office door, holding Elliot's arm with one hand and the arm of another student I didn't recognize because both of his eyes were nearly swollen shut. Mrs. Mason ran out and I followed her.
"This one," Coach Peckham said, pushing the boy forward. "Started it. This one," he said, shoving Elliot forward. "Finished it."
"Who is that?"
Mrs. Rosalski asked, scurrying in with an ice pack. She helped the boy to sit, holding two cold squares against his eyes.
"Not one of mine, for once," Coach Peckham said. "Owen Rowe."
I covered my mouth. Mrs. Rosalski looked up.
"I'm calling the nurse. I'm pretty sure his nose is broken."
Mrs. Mason lowered her chin. "Dr. Augustine and Vice Principal Sharp are in an administration meeting. Elliot, follow me to Dr. Augustine's office, please. Catherine, back to your desk." I nodded, catching the shame on Elliot's face as he walked by with not a scratch on him. His left hand was swollen, and I wondered how many times those knuckles had made contact with Owen's face before someone stopped him. How much pent-up rage was behind the same punches that put holes in doors. I walked over to Owen, sitting next to him and helping him hold the ice pack to his left eye. Hey, I said.
Catherine?
It's me, I said, pulling my hand away when he jerked back. I'm just trying to help, I said.
Even though your boyfriend blinded me?
You're not blind. The swelling will go down. I hesitated, unsure if I wanted to know. What happened?
He leaned away. Like you care.
I do care. I know I've been distant.
Distant? More like non-existent? What did we do to you, Catherine?
Nothing. You didn't do anything. He turned his chin toward me, unable to see my expression.
You don't just leave two people in the dust. People you've been friends with for most of your life, for nothing.
I sighed. My dad died.
We know. We tried to be there for you.
That's not what I needed.
Then why not tell us? Why make Minka feel like she was worthless and make me feel like I was garbage you could just throw away? I get you were hurting. So tell us you need space.
I nodded, looking down. You're right. That's what I should have done.
You slammed the door in our faces more than once.
I was awful to you, and you were just trying to be my friend. But I wasn't myself. I'm still not the girl you knew. And things are far worse now than they were then.
What do you mean?
He asked. The hurt and anger in his voice melted away. I stood. You still need to stay away from me. It's still not safe. He sat back, the sullen expression returning.
But Madison and Sam are invincible against that, I guess?
Natty and Sam don't want to come in, I whispered.
What do you mean? Something's happening in your house?
Two paramedics walked in, one short and soft around the middle, the other tall and lanky. They introduced themselves to Owen, and I stepped back.
Catherine,
Mrs. Rosalski said, looking toward the counselor's open door. I knew what she wanted, so I returned to Mrs. Mason's office to study alone. The bell to release first hour rang, and then again to initiate second. Elliot was still in the principal's office, and the rest of the administration were carrying on like normal. Half an hour later, Elliot emerged from Dr. Augustine's office. He kept his gaze locked on the floor, an apology barely audible when he passed. Hey, I said, reaching out to him with a comforting smile, but he ignored me, storming out the door. Two school security guards followed him, and I turned to Mrs. Mason.
You suspended him?
Don't look at me like that, she said, pulling me into her office and closing the door. He sent a student to the hospital. He didn't exactly give me a choice.
What happened?
I demanded. You know I can't discuss it with you.
He'll just tell me after school.
Mrs. Mason fell into her chair. Are you sure about that? I frowned. She sighed, sitting up. Owen said something Elliot didn't like. Elliot punched him. A lot.
He wouldn't do that unprovoked.
Really? Because I heard about his fight with Cruz Miller at the bonfire party. She busied herself with organizing papers on her desk, clearly rattled.
Do you have any idea what he's gone through the past month? Ever since we were dragged in here and questioned about Presley, everyone thinks we did something to her.
Well, it wasn't self-defense today. Mrs. Mason stopped fussing with her papers and sighed, looking up at me with sincerity in her eyes. When he didn't stop, he became the aggressor. Don't worry. You're safe here.
But he's been out there.
She mulled over my words.
You think I should have brought him in too?
Surely no one is stupid enough to bother Elliot. He's nearly the size of an NFL player.
It's a good thing he is. It's like plowing through a football field coming down Sea Hall from the parking lot every morning, at lunch and after school.
They're putting hands on you?
Mrs. Mason, please, you can't suspend him. He could lose any scholarship he's being considered for.
She watched me for a moment. This was the most I'd spoken to her about my thoughts or feelings, and I could see her deciding to use it to her advantage. Her next question proved me right. Tell me what's going on at home, and I'll reconsider.
Are you bribing me?
Yes, she said flatly. Tell me what you and Elliot are covering up, and I'll let him come back to school tomorrow. My mouth dropped open. The room began to spin, and the air felt thinner.
This isn't fair. I'm not sure this is even ethical.
Does it matter? She asked, sitting back. She was proud of herself. She knew she'd already won.
Can you even do that? Reverse his suspension?
I can give him in-house suspension with counseling. That should appease Owen's parents. I rolled my eyes.
I told you he could lose his scholarship.
She shrugged. That's what I can do. Take it or leave it.
In-house suspension with counseling. You're doing the counseling?
If you tell me the truth about what's been happening in your home. I sat in my chair, hanging on to the back like it was a lifeline. You can think about it, Mrs. Mason said. It was easier than I thought to make the decision to leave. Now that Mrs. Mason was forcing me to choose between saving Elliot or the juniper, the answer came to me in seconds. In that moment, I was sure that I loved him, that I was worthy of his love, and that letting the juniper go under was what would truly save Mama in the end. She might hate me until she got better, or she might hate me forever, but I knew it was the right thing to do for everyone I loved. Althea and Poppy, I knew, would understand. I met Mrs. Mason's gaze. The decision was easy, but the words were difficult to say aloud. I was about to go against everything I had fought to protect for over 2 years, every reason for pushing Elliot away, for pushing everyone away. My cage was about to blow wide open. For the first time in a very long time, I didn't know what would happen next.
I don't need to, I said.
Mrs. Mason lowered her chin as if she were bracing herself for what I might say.
Catherine, are you being cared for at home?
I cleared my throat, my heart thumping so loud I thought Mrs. Mason could surely hear it.
No.
Mrs. Mason clasped her hands together, waiting patiently for me to continue. Chapter 31 Catherine. Madison slowed to a stop in front of the juniper, and Sam leaned forward, looking up at the dusty windows and chipped paint.
Wow,
Sam said, his mouth hanging open.
Thanks, Maddie. I know your dad doesn't want you around me, so I appreciate you giving me a ride. I hope you don't get into any trouble.
Madison turned in her seat to show her disgust in its full glory.
It's 2 degrees below freezing, and Elliot isn't allowed on campus to pick you up. Of course I'm going to give you a ride home.
I smiled.
Thank you.
Mrs. Mason offered, but I saw her to-do list for this evening, and it was 2 pages long.
Want me to walk you to the door? Or inside? Sam asked, peering out the window in awe.
Sam, God! Madison scolded. Not the time!
No, thank you, I said, gathering my things. Madison touched my arm. I carried my backpack inside and went upstairs, folding my clothes and placing as many shirts, pants, socks, and underwear as I could fit in the luggage my dad had bought me years before. I'd fantasized 100 times about using it for the first time, but never in those fantasies did leaving the juniper for just another place in Oak Creek cross my mind. Different scenarios played over and over in my mind, Mama's reaction, saying goodbye, and hoping it would all be okay in the end. Still, nothing I could imagine made me regret helping Elliot. He was good, like Althea and Dad were good. Elliot had been pushed into a corner and then fought his way out, but there weren't many things he wouldn't do for those he loved.
I just happened to be one of the lucky few. Cupboards slammed downstairs, and then someone called my name, someone young and impatient, but it wasn't Poppy. Hey, I said, rounding the corner and sitting on the island.
You look terrible,
Cousin Imogen snarled. She set a cup of tea in front of me and crossed her arms. I sat with my coat on at the kitchen island, holding my hands over the cup of steaming tea like it was a campfire. Imogen seemed unaffected, wearing her favorite peace sign T-shirt, her hair tucked behind her ears. She stood with her backside leaning against the counter, watching me. Nearly all the cupboards were wide open, left that way after she'd rummaged through them looking for the tea bags. She usually offered an olive branch in the form of tea after her dad treated me terribly, but before, it had always been a day or two after it happened. Mama had never forbidden anyone to come back before, and until that moment, I'd held out hope that she could actually make them stay away. Imogen glared at me.
Well, are you going to drink the stupid tea or not?
A thick silence followed Imogen's question, allowing the whistling wind sneaking inside the weak parts of the juniper to be noticed. A door slammed upstairs, and we both looked up.
Duke?
Imogen asked, unsettled. Change in pressure. It's just the wind. The curtains were pulled, only allowing slivers of silver light into the dining room and kitchen. The clouds outside seemed to have moved over Oak Creek and unpacked, happy to stay for the rest of the winter, allowed but unwelcome, just like the guests at the Juniper.
You never said. Why are you so sad? What happened today? Your mama was telling my dad about a girl who went missing. Did you hear anything about her today?
The thought of Uncle Toad being here made me angry. He wasn't supposed to be allowed back. Her failure to stand her ground was just another sign Mama's depression was getting worse. I picked at the chip in the cup in front of me. No.
No? Imogen asked. You haven't heard anything about her?
Just that she's still missing, I said, taking a sip. Imogen? Where's Mama? Imogen fidgeted.
Upstairs. Why?
You need to have her come down. I need to talk to her.
Imogen snarled. About what?
I want to talk to Mama, not you. Tell her to come. Imogen crossed her arms, her expression set in a stubborn smirk.
Fine, I said, taking another sip.
I'm leaving. Today.
What?
Imogen said, walking around the island.
What are you talking about?
Elliot got suspended today. I told Mrs. Mason about the Juniper to keep it off his record. Imogen leaned down, looking at me from under her brows. She kept her voice low.
Told her what about the Juniper?
I stared ahead, unable to see the fear I knew was in Imogen's eyes. That Mama's sick, and I've been taking care of things.
That's a lie,
Imogen hissed.
Aunt Mavis takes good care of you.
Not for a long time, I said, picking at the mug, avoiding her eyes.
Take that back! Take it back!
She screamed in my ear. I winced, leaning away from her.
You need to get Mama, I said, keeping my voice calm.
They'll be here soon.
Who?
She shrieked. DHS. Imogen's face twisted into disgust.
What's that?
Department of Human Services, I said, the words absorbing into my chest and weighing me down. I'd done what I promised I would never do. Imogen seemed to panic and then whimpered, running upstairs, calling for Mama.
Mavis!
She cried.
Mavis!
Someone pounded on the door, and I scrambled to open it. Elliot was on the other side, finally wearing his coat, his breath puffing out in white clouds with every exhale. He looked surprised to see me, holding up a torn envelope and folded paper.
"What did you do?"
he asked.
"What did you do?"
Mama said, stomping down the stairs.
She grabbed my shoulders, shaking me. Elliot pulled me back, standing between us.
Whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Let's calm down.
Calm down? Calm down?
Mama asked, her voice shrill. I closed my eyes.
She hates that. How could you do this to me?
Mama asked, pushing Elliot aside.
You told that bitch counselor about us, and now what? You're going to live in some dilapidated foster home with 10 other kids? With strangers? For what? For him?
What?
Elliot asked, turning to me. He looked betrayed, and I could see the hurt in his eyes at the realization that she knew and he didn't.
You told Mrs. Mason?
I told her enough.
Enough for what? Elliot asked.
He held up the envelope.
For this?
A black van slowed to a stop next to the curb in front of Elliot's Chrysler, a police cruiser behind it, and I broke free, running upstairs. Elliot looked at the van, down at the paper, and then at me.
You're leaving? Where are they taking you?
I can't say right now. I grabbed two bags in my backpack, taking two steps at a time until I was at the front door. Mama grabbed my coat in her fist and held on.
No, you're not going.
Mama, you have to get better. You have to close down the Juniper.
No!
She yelled. You have to close it down, and everyone has to leave. Then I'll come back. I'll stay with you. But... When I realized she was gawking at the van and not paying attention, I gently pulled her by the chin to face me. Mama, I need you to listen. They're going to ask you who you'd prefer I stay with. You need to tell them Mrs. Mason. Rebecca Mason, the school counselor. You have to say it's okay that I stay with her. A woman and a man stepped out of the van and walked toward our house. Mama, Mrs. Mason, I repeated, emphasizing my counselor's name. Mrs. Mason told me DHS would need Mama to sign paperwork okaying my move to her home. Otherwise, I would go to the DHS office and wait for placement.
No!
Mama said, trying to pull me inside while she attempted to close the door. I met her terrified gaze.
I'll be back. When? What am I going to do? I'll be alone. What am I going to do?
Mama said, tears spilling over her cheeks. After a quick knock, the screen door swung open and the man smoothed his jacket and straightened his tie. Elliot was standing behind them, unsure and worried.
Mrs. Calhoun, I'm Stephanie Barnes, the woman said. She was in her mid-20s, the same build as Mama, but shorter. She seemed nervous. I'm here with Stephen Fry from the Oklahoma Department of Human Services and Officer Culpepper from the Oak Creek Police Department. We've come to transfer Catherine to a safe environment until we can get some further information on what she shared with her counselor at school today.
Where are you taking her?
Mama pleaded, holding my coat with both fists. The panic and fear in her voice were heartbreaking. The police officer stepped between us.
Mrs. Calhoun, we have a court order. You're going to need to step back and let Mr. Fry and Miss Barnes do their jobs.
Mama, do as he says, I said, letting them pull me away from her. Be sure to eat. There's bread, peanut butter, and jelly for Poppy.
Catherine!
Mama called, staying behind with the officer and Miss Barnes.
Hey, wait!
Elliot said, pushing his way through the front door. Mr. Fry pulled me with him off the porch and over the uneven sidewalk. Mr. Fry paused at the gate and held out his arm to keep Elliot away, but I pressed it down.
It's okay, I said. He's a friend.
Where are you going?
Elliot said, panicked.
Are you leaving Oak Creek?
To Mrs. Mason's. I'm going to stay with her for a while.
Really?
He asked, relieved.
Is that okay?
I shrugged one shoulder.
It was necessary.
He wrinkled his nose.
Catherine, you didn't do all this for...
He looked down at the envelope in his hand.
Yes, I said, and I'd do it again.
Mr. Fry gestured for me to follow him to the van, and I did, looking over my shoulder once. Elliot jogged over, stopping just short of the gate.
Can I come see you?
Yes,